Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John continues the series entitled, Walking in Faith. Abel was the second son born to Adam and Eve, and this week we will look at the kind of faith he possessed, even though his parents rejected the love of God and embraced the lies of the devil. Abel turned out to be a man that loved and desired to please God, whereas his brother Cain was rebellious and eventually would kill him. But before that happened, Abel must have caught a glimpse of the Garden of Eden's beauty through the entrance and known that he would never have a chance to enter and live in this paradise. But he latched onto God's promise of a future Redeemer that would pay for the sins of the human race and make it possible to get into a future garden. Abel clung to that promise, and when he was old enough to start sacrificing, he followed the command given to his parents. If this man could exhibit such faith in God, should we not have even more faith? This message is entitled, The Third Man of the Human Race. Now, let's go to the sanctuary and join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord. And good morning and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church on August the 14th, 2011. And I'm glad that you're here today, or that you're with us in cyberspace. So now let us pray. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now for these moments we have. And Lord, I just praise you today for the message you have given to me, that Father God, I'll be able to deliver it in such a way that we'll be anointed, that I'll be anointed, and each hearer will be anointed. So that, Father God, we will learn, and we'll be able to use this in our lives, and be victorious. Because, Father God, we don't want to be defeated. We want to be victorious. And we thank and we praise you for that now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. I assume you got the outlines. And we're going to be talking here today about the third man of the human race. The third man of the human race. That's an intriguing title. And as we continue our study now in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, we find the Apostle Paul looked at two men who lived before the flood, Abel and Enoch. And today we're going to look upon Abel. I don't ever recall preaching a sermon on Abel. I don't ever recall hearing a sermon on Abel. So maybe today I'm going to break a record in a church of Lord Jesus Christ. Now this man lived about 7,000 years ago. So that's a long time. So, just here for you to get the timing here, if we set the time of Adam's creation to year zero, and we know that Adam died in 930, he lived 930 years, and the flood took place in 1676, which would be 746 years after Adam died. Just a little historical background here. Now, the Bible does not give us any birth year for Cain and Abel. So let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 4. That's Hebrews 11:4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead, yet speaks. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Why would it take faith to bring a sacrifice? Why could he just simply say, well, we just going to bring a sacrifice? Why faith? Well, let me ask you this question. When you came here today to worship the Lord, did you come in faith, believing that God would give you something? Or did you just come out of sheer habit? Do you have faith that God is going to meet you? Abel is a person, if you think about it, most likely he might have been born maybe 15 or 20 years after Adam and Eve had been thrown out of the garden. There was not a lot of people around. We do know that he had sisters, but the Bible doesn't record who they were. But they were sisters born. And Abel, I'm sure, had heard his father speak about the garden, and his mother talking about the fruit and the glory and the power. And as he looked at the garden, they must have been close by. He would have seen the cherubims. He would have seen the flaming sword. And he would have simply heard, there is a God. God used to walk with us. I want you to catch that. Adam and Eve must have said, God used to walk with us. In the cool of the evening, he would come down. And we would walk around in the garden and talk. And it was just a wonderful fellowship. But there is no more. By faith, Abel brought a sacrifice, believing that God would receive it and restore a fellowship with him. Let's develop this now. Turn to Matthew chapter 23. That's Matthew chapter 23. And it is significant that Jesus mentioned Abel, because a lot of people said, well, the Old Testament is a fairy tale. It didn't happen. But in Matthew 23, 35, we read this. That upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, for the blood of the righteous Abel, unto the blood of Zechariah, the son of Barachias, whom you slew between the temple and the altar. Abel, the blood of righteousness. Why was Abel righteous? Turn to 1 John now. That's the letter of 1 John. If you want to pick it up here in chapter 3. That's 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 12. Not as Cain, who was that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. These are some of the references to Abel in the New Testament. What can you and I learn from the story of Abel? We don't know how old he was when he died. We don't know a whole lot. We know he was a farmer. Actually, he had cattle and he had sheep. The Bible does not tell us how old Adam was when Abel was born. Nor do we know how old Abel was when he was killed. The Bible tells that after the death of Abel, Seth was born when Adam was 130 years old. So somewhere between year 0 and 130, Abel was born. Let's turn back to Genesis chapter 5 now. That's Genesis, the 5th chapter. If you want to pick it up in verse number 3. And Adam lived 130 years and begat the son in his own likeness after his image. and he called him Seth. Now, Seth replaced Abel. Here's a theme that I want you to think about today now. Abel represents the people that had lost everything. Abel was born in a family that had lost access to God and lived in sin. He was a lost generation. Abel had absolutely no hope in the past. He knew that he could not go back. There was nothing in the past. And Satan wants you to live in the past. That's where he wants you to be. He wants you to think about good things, bad things. And he steals your future. Because we talk about the glory days of the old days. The glory days. Or we talk about the mystery days. Instead of talking about the future days. Let me try to illustrate that. My wife and I were at San Quentin State Prison yesterday to visit one of the inmates on death row. And this is our third visit we made with him, and we had a chance to pray and so on. And this is a room where you had probably, I would say, maybe 25 other men. And we were sitting in a cage, 6 feet wide, 10 feet long, and completely caged in. And you had a whole room full of cages like this, with a condemned inmate sitting in each cage and his visitor sitting inside with him. Now, I asked him, because I thought about, I said, now, I asked this man, his name is Dan. I said, now, Dan, these are the men that are around us. Are they all condemned? He said, they are all on death row. We are not mixed with anyone else. All the men here are on death row. As I thought about that, and I looked around, and these men did not look, you know, like, you know, monsters. Matter of fact, the man next to us looked just like, you know, a grandfather, probably in the 50s, 60s. He didn't look like a murderer. All that went for murder. And what came to me, what God showed me is this. These men have no future on earth. They are condemned. If they will be, their death sentence will be commuted, they go to life in prison without possibility of parole. And I thought about these men have no hope. They have no future on earth. But do they have a future for eternity? And the answer is yes. You and I are not on death row. But I can tell you this, that all of us in this room are slowly dying. I'm sorry if I have to inform you on that. But every one of us are slowly dying. We are not progressing upward, we are progressing downwards. And someday we will leave this earth. And the question is, what do we do with the life that we have now? This man Daniel that we talked to, he had written to me, and he wished to die. He's been on death row for about 13 years. And some of them have been there for 15, 20 to 30 years. And I said to him, I said, well, picture yourself this way. You're on a huge ship. The ship has taken a hit, it's leaking, it's slowly sinking, and you are the only one that have access to life vests. Would you? You put yourself on a life vest yourself. But I said, wouldn't you be very happy to go around on a ship and put a life vest on each person on that ship? He said, yes, I will be happy. I said, you are in a ship here that is sinking, and you have life vests available. Well, you can go to each other prisoner and simply said, if you put this life vest on, you will be rescued. You will have eternal life and you can have a happy life, a productive life, a wonderful life that will go on and on and on. You have something to live for. Abel could not go back to the Garden of Eden. He looked forward for God to touch him. Turn to Genesis chapter 3, verse number 15 right now. That's Genesis 3:15. Have you read this? This is what God said. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. It shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Genesis 3:5 is the first promise of the gospel. The first promise that God simply said to Adam and Eve before he threw them out, I'm going to do something. In the future, there will come someone that will crush the head of the serpents. The Redeemer. Adam and Eve told this to Cain. They told this to Abel. And Abel simply began to dream. I will never get into the garden. But I know there's a Redeemer out there. And if I sacrifice according to what he said to my mom and dad, a blood sacrifice, I will be accepted of my Redeemer. And able to get into the new garden in the future. Cain and Abel were told that God killed some animals. After the parents sinned and used the animal skin to cloth Adam and Eve. This is the first blood sacrifice. Look in verse number 21. And to Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. I'm sure that Adam and Eve said, you know, Cain and Abel, we sinned. And we tried to cover us up with fig leaves because we realized we were sinful. And then God came. And after he had judged us, he killed some animals, took their skins and made clothing, and he clothed us. And this is where they learned the first rule, that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. The boys learned that. And the boys must have been told about the Garden of Eden, and the thrill that Adam and Eve experienced when God came and walked with them. Abel in particular must have looked at the angels, and the flaming sword that blocked the entrance into the garden. Verse 22 and 24 of chapter 3. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand, and take also the tree of life, and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden, to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man. He placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword would turn every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Now, what I'm saying to you now is just speculation. We don't know that. But I can see in my mind little Cain and Abel as young boys, playing outside the gates of the garden. And I'm sure that they could see inside and see the beautiful garden, how it looks in there. And they must have been thinking about what their mom and dad told them. And then they must have had these thoughts. We can never go back into that garden. Many of you have simply this problem. You were once in the Garden of Eden, so to say. You had a beautiful life. Things were going well. And somehow, for some reason, you lost it. You were kicked out. And now you look back at your garden. There are the cherubims and a flaming sword, and you can't go back. Cain got bitter in his heart. Abel realized, I can't go back, but I can go forward. If you've been divorced and you lost it, you cannot go back, but you can go forward. If somebody died in your family, you lost a loved one, whatever it is, you can't bring them back here on this earth, but you can go forward. You can do two things. You can sit outside the Garden of Eden and have regrets and regrets and think about the past while you are dying. Or you can move on. As the boys grew and became adults, they were responsible for maintaining their own relationship with God, and knew that they had to regularly bring a sacrifice to the Lord. Parents, when you had the children at home, you could minister to them. And so, but there came a time when each child, when they grow up, they got to take care of their own things. Genesis 4:3, we read this. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Now they learned here that they simply now should sacrifice to the Lord. Abel brought a blood sacrifice when Cain gave a fruit offering. Verse 4. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain, at his offering, had no respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Here's what I wrote on the back of the page here. Abel lived a short time on the earth. He loved God, had faith that the Redeemer would come someday. He was obedient and gave God a blood sacrifice, but he's noteworthy that he only had the opportunity to sacrifice once to God before he was murdered by his brother Cain. I'm sure that when Abel was standing there in front of his altar he had built, and the lamb that he had slaughtered was burning on his altar, smoke was going up, that he felt the presence of the Lord, that he felt, yes, God, I have accepted this sacrifice. He's happy with me. Abel must have had a lot of joy. And I'm sure that he wanted to share that with his brother. When you have an experience with God, you're baptized in the Spirit, or you have a vision or a prophecy, whatever it is, you want to share that with the whole world. You got to realize this. Most people don't want to hear what you got to say. They get angry when you tell them what a beautiful time you have with the Lord. They don't like that. Now, here comes Cain. Have you read this? And the Lord said to Cain in verse number 6, why are you wroth? And why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, shall you not be accepted? If you do not well, sin lies at the door. And unto you shall be his desire, and you shall rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. I'm sure that Cain now simply said, you know, I am really upset. And I can you see when he came to Abel. And Abel said, hi, Cain, how are you? You know what? I just finished my sacrifice, and God accepted it, and I'm so happy. And Cain said, well, I'm glad for your sake. Let's take a walk here in the field, brother. Let's talk about this. I can see Abel just hopping around and talking, you know, praising God, and Cain just reaching down for a rock and suddenly just killed his brother. He couldn't stand that God had rejected him. And Abel was blessed. The first murder. And it came to pass when they were in the field. The Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Abel died. He went to be with the Lord because he believed in the Redeemer. Like Jesus said, even if he's dead, he still speaks. He's alive. Now, this is the first murder. This is the first recorded martyr who was killed. Because he loved God and lived a holy life. Satan hates God's people, has used his people to keep on murdering to the present time. Now turn to Matthew 23:27. That's Matthew chapter 23. And you pick it up in verse number 27. Matthew 23:27. Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of utter uncleanness. Even so you also outwardly appear right unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and guard your sepulchres of the righteous. And say, if we would have been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partaking with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore you be witnesses unto yourself, that you are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill you up, then, the measure of your fathers. You serpents, you generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send you prophets, wise men and scribes, and some you shall kill and crucify, some of them shall scourge in the synagogues, and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood, shed upon the earth, for the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zechariah, the son of Barachias, whom you slew between the temple and the altar. You got to remember now that the generation of Cain have not left the earth. Cain's generation is still here. Cain's generation simply say this: we are not going to come to God on his terms. We're going to come to God on our terms. I was really shocked when I read in the newspaper this last week that we're going to have Louis Palou is going to come to Sacramento next year and have a huge meeting. He's been an evangelist for many years. And he's been usually done what Billy Graham has done, had tremendous crusades. And as I read this, he told a reporter, he says, now we're not going to do it like we used to do it. He said, I don't want to use the name crusade because among the unbelievers it had a negative connotation. We're going to call it a festival. We're going to have a festival. And he said at the festival, we're going to have entertainers. And we're going to have Cal Expo here. We are expecting 175,000 people. And we're going to entertain them. And then toward the end, I'm going to bring a message of encouragement to them. And then they said also this. Now, there are many churches cooperating. And beginning in January, they're going to meet on a weekly basis to feed the homeless, to do community work, and to tell the people in the community that we are connected. It used to be for Billy Graham Crusade. They would meet the year before. We've been part of it. And we had prayer meetings every week where we came together to pray down the power of God. They're not going to have any prayer meetings this time. It's going to be feeding the homeless, taking care of people in need, feeding the elderly, running people to the hospital. And then they're going to have a festival. And I thought about, that sounds like a Cane Carnival. We're not coming to God on his terms. We're coming on our terms. God wants repentance. God wants us to pray. God wants to pray down the Holy Ghost. God doesn't want festivals. He wants meetings where the gospel is preached with power. And people are coming to Christ. I'm standing here because of the meetings of Billy Graham. There are many, many people that came to Christ during his ministry. And the question is, why does not that continue? In the future, there'll be many more killings by the devil and his followers. Turn to Revelation chapter 12, verse number 13. That's Revelation chapter 12. If you pick it up in verse number 13. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And he did persecute the mother of Jesus. He tried to kill the child, and she fled into Egypt. And the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might flee into the wilderness, into a place where she's nourished for a time and times, and have a time from phrase of the serpent. If you read the Gospel of Luke, you find that out. And the serpent cast out his mouth water, cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth, swallowed up the flood with the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with a remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. The generation of Cain has not left the earth. Matter of fact, the same demons that possessed Cain are possessing people today. Isn't it amazing that if you're a rock star or a movie star, whatever you call it, you know, people flock around and say, oh, great people and so on. But if you stand up and proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ, crucified, resurrected, and tell people there's no other name under heaven given whereby you must be saved, and you begin to tell people if you are not saved, you will go to hell, that you are considered a terrorist. You are terrorizing people, scaring them. Well, I tell you what, I'd rather scare people out of hell than sing a nice song to them and, you know, put them to sleep and they slide into hell. I'd be glad to meet someone in heaven that said, you know, you preach hellfire and brimstone, you scared the hell out of me, and I got saved and I'm here. Let me give you a hug. I think it's good to scare the hell out of people. Let's send them to heaven. Now turn to chapter 14 of Revelation. Chapter 14, verse number 9 through 13. And the third angel followed with him, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image, receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink out of wine out of wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture, into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of the torment ascend up forever and ever. And they have no rest, day nor night, to worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receives the mark of his name. Here's the patience of those saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven say to me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Now, there will be persecution coming down the road. So, let's look upon the summary here of Abel's faith. Abel knew that his parents have sinned. You and I know that our parents have sinned. Some of the problems we have, we inherited. But we got to remember this. We might have had a bad start, but we sure added some stuff to it ourselves. We cannot blame everything on mom and dad and uncle and aunts and grandparents. We got to take responsibility ourselves. Abel knew how great life had been in the Garden of Eden. Ina and I have had many wonderful meetings in the past. But I have stopped talking about them. I don't want to talk about them anymore. That's in the past. Yes, we had wonderful times. Glorious power of the Holy Ghost. Tremendous years. But you see, there are cherubims there now. There's a flaming sword. We cannot go back to the 70s and the 80s. It's over. It's done. We have to look what we have today and what we might have tomorrow. Abel could see the cherubims, the flaming sword and the beauty of the garden behind it. Now, as you look back, it can paralyze you. It can sympathize. I'm so angry. I'm so angry. I'm so angry. It paralyzes you. And Satan says, wonderful. I like that dance you're doing. Keep it up. It will kill you. And in the meantime, you'll be useless in the kingdom of God. Abel knew he could never enter that garden. He also knew in faith that there would be a new garden in the future, that he would be allowed into because he repented of his sins and put his faith in a future Redeemer. Abel simply said this, my past is in the past. My family is in the past. But I have a future. Do you realize that Abel was the first man saved? And Abel was the first one to enter paradise, which was under the earth at that time. And there he found it is also called paradise. Abel was the first man saved. He was the third man to be born on this earth. Adam was not born, he was created, but we had Adam, Cain, and Abel. Abel's second born. Can you see Abel in heaven today, walking around? And simply saying this, praise God. I didn't know a whole lot. You know how much gospel Abel had? You know how much gospel he had? He had the first three chapters. That's all he had. Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3, that was the gospel he had. He got saved on Genesis 3:15. That's not bad. You and I got much more. This faith of Abel was imputed to him for righteousness. Now I want you to take it to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. That's Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews, the 12th chapter. If you want to pick it up in verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down the right hand of the throne of God. Wherefore, seeing we also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, who is watching us? The angels and the saved people who are now in heaven. You and I are in a ballpark arena. We're down playing ball. They're sitting in the bleachers. And you are being watched 24/7. By God's holy angels, by the saints in heaven, and of course by the demons. And you know, when you try to sin in your own home, and you might be sitting in front of the computer saying, should I not? And you're tempted to look at some pornography. Remember this, you are live on heaven's television. You're live. And when you see those pictures and you begin to drool your mouth and begin to lust in your heart, that is shown in heaven in front of everyone. You're not sitting in the corner. You are right in the open. Shouldn't your faith and my faith be greater than Abel's? What we've seen God do for us. Turn back then to Hebrews 11:13, my last scripture for today. Hebrews chapter 11, at verse number 13. Let me read what I wrote in my box here. Faith does not look back at what has been. Faith does not look back at what has been. Instead, faith looks forward to what is going to be. Hebrews 11:13. These all died in faith. Not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly they that seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had the opportunity to have returned. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had the opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called a God. For he has prepared for them a city. Are you looking for that city? Are you looking for the future? Are you living in the now, anticipating the future? Or are you living in the now and dying in the past? There's only two ways to go. And that is forward. There's only one way to go, and that is to go forward. What can we learn of Abel? What can you take home with you today? This is what I want you to take home today. Abel didn't live a long time. He didn't have a great surrounding. He didn't know a whole lot. He didn't have anyone to witness to, really, except Cain. But Abel simply said, I know that my Redeemer lives. And I want to be going to that garden in the future. And that was imputed to him for righteousness. He repented. He sacrificed. He repented of his sins. Gave the sacrifice. And believed in the coming Messiah. And he was saved. You and I have the entire Bible. We got more than 7,000 years of history in the Bible. You and I have seen miracles in our life. We've been born again. We have many different things in life. We've seen what God has done. And God is saying, how many more years do I have to prove myself to you? How many more years before you have faith? In Hebrews 11, verse 4, we read as we close. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead yet speaks. By faith, you gave the sacrifice of your life when you come to Christ. When you said, my heavenly Father, forgive me of my sins. I deserve to die, but I want to repent. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe he died on the cross for me. I believe when he rose and was resurrected on the third day, that he was resurrected for my sake. And I believe that God, when I repented and asked Jesus to come into my life, my Lord and Savior, that you saved me. I believe that. That is when you sacrifice yourself. And the smoke went up as a sweet offering to the Lord. And he said, I love you. I accept you. I save you. I sanctify you. You are holy. And then he's looking at you. And are you now willing to say, Lord, I don't want to live in the past anymore. It's gone. I thank you for today, and I want to live for the future. I want to be used by you, Lord. I want you to use me as a vessel until the day you call me home. If you do that, you do just like Abel. Do you realize that Abel only had one person he could witness to? And then when he witnessed to that person, he killed him. But he was counted him righteousness. Did you get the message today? Did you understand what faith means? Look forward and burn your past. Let's stand for prayer. My Heavenly Father, I want to lift up those men on death row that I saw yesterday, Lord. I saw maybe 30 of them, but there are more than 700 people sitting at San Quentin, Father God, here in California. And Lord, we have been able to get in a few Christian dynamics there, Father God, and we're ministering. And I pray right now, Father God, that you will use this ministry and those people that got names to write to prisoners. we should be able to encourage them. That we should see men and women saved on death row. And Father God, when they are repenting of the sins of this earth, and they can have eternal life and not have to go to the lake of fire. And I pray for us here today, Father God, in the church. And those, Father God, that are watching us, those are our cyber members. That we will get a hold of the story of Abel. That, Father God, we will have a funeral. And say that I'm going to bury my past. It's already dead. It stinks. I drag around the corpse. And I need to dig a hole. And stick it in there and cover it up. So I can move on and live in the future. If someone was not saved today, Father God, I pray you will use my teaching today. They will come to Christ. And I thank you right now, my Heavenly Father, that you're going to do something deep and great in the life of those people watching me. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The altars are open. The elders are here. If you have a need, maybe God has called you into some type of ministry. Maybe you need a more anointing. You come. Soterios, come on up. Come to Christ at this time. Whatever he has been speaking to you, the altars are open. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7-8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commends his love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, God loves you so much that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with his shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that he sent his own Son to pay a debt he did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send his Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through his Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You see, God offers his love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, he will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, he will do for you. If you call out to him, he will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past. And there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All he wants for you is to come to him. He will help anybody who calls out to him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, he will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins, on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to Pastor John S. Terrell of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This message was the second part in the series, Walking in Faith, and was entitled, The Third Man of the Human Race. Adam and Eve rejected the love of God and embraced the lies of the devil, but their son Abel turned out to be a man that loved and desired to please God. He must have caught a glimpse of the Garden of Eden's beauty through the entrance and known that he would never have a chance to enter and live in this paradise. But he latched onto God's promise of a future Redeemer that would pay for the sins of the human race and make it possible to get into a future garden. Abel knew he was responsible for maintaining his relationship with God, and when he was old enough to start sacrificing, he followed the command given to his parents. The Bible records that his faith was imputed unto him for righteousness. And if this man could exhibit such faith in God, should we not have even more faith? Remember, it's not so important how you begin your life after salvation, but how you finish it. This message is available on cassette, CD, and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1303. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can learn more about Pastor Terrell's ministry, read insightful articles, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the toll-free number in the United States is 1-888-708-3232. That's 888-708-3232. For calls from outside the U.S., the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.